But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. We take one step this Thanksgiving year of our Lord 2012, from less to more generosity. We're not always as thoughtful as we could be. We're not always as mindful as we want to be. We don't always arise to sing, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Let us be thoughtful this Thanksgiving. Let us be mindful of the blessings through which and in which and by which God does grace us. You learned these in your youth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are you when others revile and persecute you in my name, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. We're not always quite as thoughtful as we would like to be. We're not always fully mindful of the grace we have been given. And so the responsive, coordinated and coordinating generosity that is ours to share. We're just not always that thoughtful. Over a birthday dinner some hours and days ago, I recalled one of those early frenetic mornings after we had entered a new city and a new ministry and a new church, when you're learning names as fast as you can and meeting people as well and as quickly as you can, and the calendar showed a 7 a.m. breakfast with the person, the principal, the leader of the company who handled the church's endowment. So at 7 a.m., we too arrived at the same breakfast place, dressed similarly in dark navy blue suits, in demure conservative ties, in starched and ironed white shirts with button-down collars. And we tested whether or not we temperamentally could work together, as we did, we found we could. We could make a team. We could find our way forward early in the morning. Somewhere halfway through the breakfast, I noticed that for all of the dark suit and demure tie and starched shirt, my breakfast partner was sitting across the table from me with one collar button undone. I thought, do I know him well enough to speak? He's going to go through the rest of this day looking so unbuttoned. But he stepped up for a minute and went out. I thought, oh, for sure he'll see, but he didn't. And then the waitress came and the check came and the breakfast ended, and I drove back to the office flustered in these days of fierce engagement in a new setting, thinking I should have told him. I should have said something. He was wasn't as mindful as he meant to be. He wasn't as thoughtful as he meant to be. But then I also thought, what am I, chopped liver? Who dresses you? You came to the breakfast at the same time I did. Am I your keeper? Am I a GQ clergy? I don't attend to attire. Don't look for me to quote Steel Magnolias, where they said, accessorize, it's the only thing that separates us from the animal kingdom. I'm not a clothes person. Dark suit, demure tie, starched shirt, button-down collar. So I returned to that beautiful office building. It's an H.H. Richardson beautiful building. And sometime in the mid-morning, I happened to pass by a mirror. And there I stood in dark suit and demure tie and iron shirt with button-down collar and one button undone. The two of us had sat for nearly an hour looking at each other, not telling each other that we had left a button apart. We're not always as thoughtful, as mindful as we can be. Let us, this Thanksgiving, be thoughtful. Our tradition at Marsh Chapel is to be prayerful on this day, and so we bring you prayers for the week. Should you be assigned the role of bringing a Thanksgiving prayer on Thursday, these are available free of charge for you on our website. Let us be thoughtful about our friends, our family, and our faith, especially our community of faith, this year. We had a dear friend whose name was Max Coutts, the preacher in Canton, New York, a Unitarian Universalist minister who had a gift for friendship and brought his sense of friendship in a prayer. Our Marsh associate, Robert Lucchesi, will read it for you. We have three strands of young people moving toward ministry. Robert, with others, is seeking a bachelor's degree and is discerning a calling to ministry. Here is Max Coutts giving thanks for friends.
Let us give thanks for a bounty of people, for children who are our second planting, though they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away. May they forgive us our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are. For generous friends with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for continuous friends who, like scallions and cucumbers, keep reminding us that we've had them. For crotchety friends, as sour as rhubarb and as indestructible. For handsome friends, who are as gorgeous as eggplants and as elegant as a row of corn. And the other, plain as potatoes and as good for you. For funny friends, who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as Jerusalem artichokes. And serious friends, as complex as cauliflowers and as intricate as onions. For friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as summer squash, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as zucchini, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see you through the winter. For old friends, nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes. For loving friends who wind around us like tendrils and hold us despite our blights, wilts, and witherings. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested, and who fed us in their times that we might have life thereafter. For all these, we give thanks.
Let us be thoughtful this Thanksgiving. Let us be mindful of the gift of friendship and the gifts of friends. We also will be thoughtful. We shall strive to be thoughtful and mindful this season of our family, of our family's needs and desires, of our family's quirks, of our family's idiosyncrasies. Some years ago, following a sermon in which I mentioned the image of an elderly woman in Michigan in the deep winter, rocking on a back farmhouse porch and looking out at a snow-covered, corn-stubbled field, a woman, Carol Zahm, came to me later that week with a poem she had written in appreciation for the memory she had of her own grandmother sitting on a back porch in a farmhouse looking out over a snow-covered corn stubble field. Bringing us this poem and prayer is Jessica Chica, who is a chapel associate at Marsh. She is a doctoral student and works as our chapel associate for Lutheran students and Lutheran ministry. And she brings us her voice and her presence in ministry today.
Sitting by my window, looking out at the field, this chair has been such a comfort for so many years. Rocking, rocking. All the children were comforted in this chair, all grown and gone now. Babies growing year after year till they could go to the field to help. The fields so green in the spring, then the plow broke it up into beautiful brown earth, worked over and over, until the seeds had a wonderful bed in which to grow. Week after week growing, and then harvest. We all went to the field for the harvest. Sunrise to sunset, day after day, finished at last, ready for winter. Now looking across the field at beautiful virgin snow, like watching a baby sleep, so peaceful. Happy for the quiet, anxious for the awakening. Start again, sitting by my window, rocking, rocking.
One wonders, seeing through her eyes, the winter in her eyes, whether the gospel was ringing in these verses, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, never lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. And whether she, rocking, could make her own form of affirmation, as we have done here in memorial services these years, saying, if we believe that life has meaning and purpose, and we do, if we believe that the giver of life loves us, and we do, if we believe that divine love lasts, and we do, if we believe that justice, mercy, and humility endure, and we do, if we believe that God so loved the world to give God's only Son, and we do, if we believe that Jesus is the transcript in time of who God is in eternity, and we do, if we believe that all God's children are precious in God's sight, and we do, if we believe grace and forgiveness are at the heart of the universe, and we do, if we believe in God, and we do, then we shall trust God over the valley of the shadow of death, and we shall. We shall trust that love is stronger than death, and we shall. Then we shall trust the mysterious promise of resurrection, and we shall. We shall trust the faith of Christ, relying on faith alone, and we shall. We shall trust the enduring worth of personality, and we shall. We shall trust that just deeds, merciful words are never in vain, and we shall. We shall trust the giver of life, to give eternal life. Yes, we shall. We shall trust that we rest protected in God's embrace, and we shall. We shall trust in God. Yes, we shall. Let this be a thoughtful thanksgiving wherein we are mindful of our friends and of our family and of our faith, and especially of our community of faith. Howard Thurman wrote a prayer that has become a lasting treasure, a gift for this community and for the globe itself. His Sacrament of Thanksgiving is brought to us by William Allen, who is a ministry associate, somewhere between an undergraduate Marsh associate and a doctoral chapel associate. He is finishing his Master of Divinity in the School of Theology and brings us Thurman's Thanksgiving prayer.
Today, I make my sacrament of thanksgiving. I begin with the simple things of my days: fresh air to breathe, cool water to drink, the taste of food, the protection of houses and clothes, the comforts of home. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I bring to mind all the warmth of humankind that I have known, my mother's arms, the strength of my father, the playmates of my childhood, the wonderful stories brought to me from the lives of many who talked of days gone by when fairies and giants and all kinds of magic held sway, the tears I have shed, the tears I have seen, the excitement of laughter and the twinkle in the eye with its reminder that life is good. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I finger one by one the messages of hope that awaited me at the crossroads, the smile of approval from those who held in their hands the reins of my security, the tightening of the grip and the simple handshake when I feared the step before me in darkness, the whisper in my heart when the temptation was fiercest and the claims of appetite were not to be denied, the crucial words said, the simple sentence from an open page when my decision hung in the balance. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I pass before me the main springs of my heritage, the fruits of labors of countless generations who lived before me, without whom my life would have no meaning. The seers who saw visions and dreamed dreams, the prophets who sensed a truth greater than the mind could grasp, and whose words would only find fulfillment in the years which they would never see. The workers whose sweat has watered the trees, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations. The pilgrims who set their sails for lands beyond all horizons, whose courage made paths into new worlds and far-off places. The saviors whose blood was shed with a recklessness that only a dream could inspire and God could command. For all this, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I linger over the meaning of my own life and the commitment to which I give the loyalty of my heart and mind, the little purposes in which I have shared my loves, my desires, my gifts, the restlessness which bottoms all I do, with its stark insistence that I have never done my best, I have never dared to reach for the highest, the big hope that I have that never quite deserts me, that I and my kind will study war no more, that love and tenderness and all the inner graces of almighty affection will cover the life of the children of God as the waters cover the sea. All these and more than mind can think and heart can feel, I make as my sacrament of thanksgiving to thee, our Father, in humbleness of mind and simplicity of heart.
Now, beloved, we see one another eye to eye. I ask you, may we make of this a thoughtful thanksgiving. May we be mindful of the gifts of friendship and family and faith. In April of 2005, we received the phone call no one wants to receive, that a dear friend in middle life was in New York City and would not survive the day. So we drove for 5 hours, coming to the hospital on the east side, and over many hours of sitting and praying and singing, we waited and watched, and unexpectedly, near midnight, a voice murmured, saying something we couldn't understand. She was speaking, and by grace, she survived. We didn't know what she was saying, and we walked back to our hotel at Midtown, crossing Avenue and Avenue, and there, in the middle of, I think it was Fifth Avenue, her husband said, "I've got it. She's saying 132, her favorite hymn. All my hope is firmly grounded." Will you make of this a thoughtful Thanksgiving?